Heavenly Father, we just commit this time to you. Pray that your will would be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you know, Brother Caleb here shared this morning about how parents lay the groundwork somewhat for the future of their children. And so that's kind of my subject this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart. Just I've been doing a study on different fathers and families in the Bible. Some fathers were leaders and gave clear direction to their families, and others were somewhat, you could say, passive, and the outcome of their families had a complete different ending on both of them, both sides. And so when judgment came, the outcome of it was completely different. And so this morning, my heart is to inspire us. You know, I will admit before I begin this morning, I have needs as a father. I'm not where I want to be. We sang that song, Higher Ground. I want to press for higher ground. So I would just covet your prayers in that area. So my heart this morning is to challenge us all to rise up to our calling as fathers and leading our families. You know, some of you young men here might be saying, well, this message then isn't for me if it's about fathers. But if you're here this morning and thinking about marriage someday, then this message is for you, because more than likely you will be a father and you will have a family someday if you're thinking at all about marriage in the future. So I just encourage you to take heart in the message. You know, some people take the approach, well, you shouldn't talk or say anything because you don't know the outcome of your children. You know, I agree, but that does not hinder us from lifting up God's example. You know, the scripture says that Jesus has given us all authority and power, so we shouldn't walk around with our hands tied. You know, I don't know the outcome of my family, you know, every one of them. And when I think about it, you know, sometimes it makes me tremble. But, you know, the Bible says that fear hath torment, but perfect love casteth out fear. And we're going to see that in some of our examples. You know, I remember this very clearly. My dad had talked to a man about his son who was leaving the setting where we were in and was living a sinful life and rebellious. He didn't leave for good reasons. And the man just told my dad, he says, you just wait, your sons are all young. You know, you have no right to talk. And by the way, you know, when I got converted, that's when I found out about this conversation. I'm not exactly sure if this man came back to rub it into my dad or if my dad just remembered it, but he came and told me the story. And he was regretting that he said anything because I also left. But we as Christians have God's word, as we heard about the rock, that we can lean on, that we have, that we can stand on. The Bible says, you know, whatsoever is not done in faith is sin. And I think when it comes to guiding our families, we also need to have faith in leading and directing and guiding our families. Because some of the examples that we're going to see, these were men of faith, and by faith, they led their families. So, yes, I agree. I don't know how everything's going to turn out with my family, and I tremble, you know, but speaking. But I, like I said, I don't believe it's the will of God. We stand by with our hands tied because Jesus says he has given us all authority and power. God wants us fathers to be leaders and give clear direction to our children. And so today I'm just going to go through the scriptures and bring out examples of different fathers and families and show what happened when judgment came. The first example is a very familiar one, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, is of Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I'm going to write some things on the board here. The word family is only found in the New Testament one time. But this word is interchangeable. This is the Greek word. And it's the number 3624. And I went and looked up house in here. And that's this word here. House. And then I went and looked up the word family in the vines, and it's exact same word and same number in two different locations in the vines. And so, and there's other words as you read throughout the Bible that are interchangeable with the word family, household, and houses. And so as you look throughout the scriptures, there's lots of times this word house is used where it's interchangeable with family. And I was just going to, for a little groundwork, look at some of those scriptures just to show you. In 1 Corinthians 1:16, where Paul says this, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. What he was saying, and I baptized also the family of Stephanas. This word here, household, is the same number, same Greek word as family and house. So he baptized the family of Stephanas. And another one is in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is a couple more very familiar ones. 3:5. It says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house or family, how shall he take care of the church of God? That word house is interchangeable with family. And then we go to 3:12. It's the same thing. Then we turn over to Titus chapter 1, verse 10, where Paul is exhorting Titus. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses or whole families, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So this word house is also interchangeable with family. They're subverting whole families. And so the Bible has quite a bit to say about family if we search the scriptures. You know, it's a lot like the Trinity or the deity of Christ. You know, Muslims want to tell you that nowhere in the scripture does Jesus say, I'm God. Well, if your eyes are open to it, it's very clear that the deity of Christ and Jesus does say he's God. And it's the same way with the family. God has quite a bit to say about it in the New Testament. I was reading here this week in devotions and Proverbs, and it says that we should seek wisdom, and we shall find it, and it's part of seeking, and it's there. And so back to our first example here of Noah. Noah was warned of God of things not seen. And it moved Noah into action. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as of yet and moved with fear. What was Noah warned of? He was warned of the coming judgment, right? And are you and I also not warned of the coming judgment? We are warned that there's eternity approaching, that there's we heard about under the law and under the grace. And because Noah, by faith, was warned of God, he moved with fear. It says, prepared an ark for the saving of his family. He moved with fear. And sometimes, you know, I think, you know, I'm talking to myself, us as fathers, sometimes we lack a fear of God. We truly lack a fear of God. And it, because we don't have a fear of God, we don't move like Noah. Noah moved with fear. We just, we're not moving. You know, God wants us to move with fear and prepare an ark to the saving for our family. You know, we I think of as parents, you know, when our child gets hurt or we baby them, we pamper them, which is all right and good. But when we think of eternity, we don't want them to suffer throughout eternity. And because of that, we ought to move with fear. You know, we were there for their well-being. You know, the time of Noah, when Noah was raising his family, it was a very difficult time. Some people say, you know, it doesn't get any more difficult than what we have today. But I believe from what God says in His Word in Genesis chapter 6, that it was a very difficult time to raise a family. I'm just going to read 1 through 8 there. And it says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, I can imagine the pressure that was on Noah's family back then. They were the oddballs. They were the ones out there building the ark. You know, those guys are crazy. They're dumb. You can just imagine all the things that got said and the mockery that possibly went on. You know, for 120 years they endured that. For 120 years, we don't even live to be that old. And just think about it. You know, the boys could have said, Dad, we're tired of working on this boat. Can't we stop and have a little fun with everybody else and enjoy life? You know, it was wicked in the days of Noah, and yet somehow he was able to give his children clear direction, and they passed through the judgment. You know, what do I mean when I say clear direction? Well, 2 Peter 3:20 says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know, not just preaching in church, or on the streets or Sunday morning, but daily to your family, instructing them the ways of the Lord. As Caleb shared, his parents laid a lot of groundwork. It takes a lot. It takes continual preaching, I believe. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, and I believe he taught it to his family. I believe he preached. You know, if you want practice preaching, you know, start practicing in your home, preaching, because our children, you know, we can drill the Word of God into them. It can have a great impact. Noah, he was able to impact his children. I have a verse here in 1 Timothy 3:4 that brings this out, that he was able to impart to his children what he had faith in and what he believed. 1 Timothy 3:4, it says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." I've been meditating on that word gravity. What that word gravity means, it means a necessary characteristic of the teaching imparted by the servant of God. And so, Noah, I'm going to read it again, a necessary characteristic of the teaching imparted by the servant of God. Noah is a good example of this. He was a servant of God who was able to impart the teachings of God and his word to his children. And so it's very important that we are able to impart the biblical truths that God has shown us and the biblical convictions that we have, that a servant of God says that must be able to impart them to his children. That's what that word gravity means. Then at verse 5 says, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house or family, how shall he take care of the church of God?" So basically what he's saying, if you're not able to impart your biblical truths, pass them on to your children, you're not going to pass them on in the church either. And so it's very important. So the Bible lifts up Noah as an example of one who was able to impart truths to his children. I was just going to write some other things. Seeing it, you might we'll put Noah under here. He was able to accomplish that. And then we have an example of a father who was a passive father. Genesis chapter 13. Verses 11 through 13. We all know the story here. Abraham and Lot, there was fighting going on between the herdsmen, and they divided. And verse 11 says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." You know, I believe here that the first mistake that Lot made here, it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know, I realize that we are to go and preach the gospel to sinners, and it may be that we live in a middle of a wicked place like Sodom, but it's not going to work out for your family if you are a passive father and you're in that place, which Lot was. So the first mistake he made, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then we jump over to Genesis chapter 19. A couple chapters later, he pitched his tent toward Sodom, And now he's inside the city. He's no longer toward Sodom, but he's actually inside. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And so here we see he's inside. And I'm going to jump down to verse 12. This is after they told him that the angels told him that they're going to destroy the city and he needs to get out. Verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. So you remember Noah was a preacher of righteousness. His sons believed his word. They entered into the ark and passed through the judgment. Here, Lot must have never, ever spoken to his son-in-laws or his daughters about the biblical truths that he knew of God. It says they looked, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. They were like, hey, Lot, what were you drinking last night? I mean, we never heard this from you before. This is a joke. What are you talking about? God's going to rain down and... God's going to rain down fire and destroy the city? I mean, come on. What are you talking about? This isn't real. We've never heard you say such things before. See, it was totally foreign to them. And he never laid the groundwork for this. You know, like we heard Brother Caleb share, he never laid the groundwork. And we all know what happened. Verse 15, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, I tried to picture myself being Lot here, you know, knowing that the city's going to be destroyed. My family is going to be destroyed. I have daughters. I have sons. Verse 12 talks about son-in-law and thy sons. I have sons, daughters, grandchildren. And he's lingering. How can I leave? They're going to be destroyed. I want to take them with me. But it was too late because... He was not able to impart the word of God into them. And so he lingered. Oh, the heartache of knowing that judgment is coming on your children and knowing it's too late. And so God does lay out that we do need to prepare an ark for the saving of our house also. It's in the scripture. And so here's an example of a man who went through judgment and he lost his family. And so I'm just going to put over here, passive. It's not going to work for us as fathers to be passive. If you're a young man thinking about marriage, not going to work for you to be passive in raising a family. God wants you to lead, give clear direction. You know, I believe a lot of young people, they like clear direction. You know, I'll just say this, you know, my daughters came home from the singing the other night and, you know, they complimented, they said, Caleb gave clear direction to everyone, told everybody what to do, and it was good. You know, people like clear direction, so they know what they're doing. And so I'm going to look at another positive example is Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 of a man. This is what God said about him. Verse 19, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." We know that Abraham commanded his house after him. He had Isaac, and Jacob was his grandson. But they commanded their household or their family after God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, a couple verses. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children." You know, people have a tendency to forget the things which their eyes have seen. You know, what does Paul say, or maybe it's Peter, it says, that stir up thy pure minds by in the way of remembrance. People have a tendency to forget. You know, people start to forget the days that you stood before the Lord and heard His word, the day you got born again, the day you're a new babe in Christ, and you're soaking in His word, and the Lord is planting biblical convictions and just strengthen you and making you zealous for His name's sake. And they have a tendency to forget when they get converted and have a tender conscience and convictions on biblical truths. And instead of standing on them and teaching and imparting them to the children, like Timothy 3:4 says, you know, that may be in subjection with all gravity, what happens, I think, a lot of time, the children start rising up and start teaching the parents and start destroying biblical truths that the parents once stood for. I've heard parents of making comments like, "I used to think the way you do, but when my children were small." My question is, why are you forgetting the way you used to think? You heard them from the Lord when you stood before Him. Here it says, Moses is exhorting them that remember the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life. So my question is, why are you forgetting those things that the Lord has given you clear direction, given you clear convictions, and it's in His word, and then start letting them slip and letting children rise up to teach you? And so Isaiah 3 talks about this. Isaiah 3, verse 12. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." You know, what he's saying here, children rise up and start to lead, and they cause my people to err, he says. You know, the Lord doesn't want that. We are called to be the leaders. We are called to be give clear direction. We are the ones to stand. We are the ones to, you know, to be leading out as parents. And then it says, the Lord standeth up to plead. The Lord standing up to plead that the men would rise up and be the leaders. That's what the Lord is pleading. He says, stand up, you know. He doesn't want the children leading. He doesn't want the women leading, but He wants us as fathers leading. And so, the Lord standeth up to plead. You know, we read that verse in 1 Timothy. You know, the Lord wants us to impart unto them the biblical truths with all gravity. He wants us to be able to imparting to our children the same biblical convictions that He has shown us, and not them changing our convictions, not them changing what God already has shown us. You know, I'm going to turn back to Genesis there, chapter 13. You know, with this thought in mind, Genesis 13, verses 8 through 11. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then will I go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then will I go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You know, this is a real burden to me. You know, there was there came up strife between their herdmen, and you know, I'm just sharing my burden. I see this, brothers and sisters. You know, young couples getting converted. Their children are young. They have sweet fellowship one with another. Have same biblical convictions. And then children start to get older and start to make some of their own choices and decisions, and start to tweak dad and mom a little bit here, tweak them a little bit there, tweak them a little bit over here, and then pretty soon you have strife among the brethren, because you have fathers who are endeavoring to have their children in subjection with all gravity, like Noah and like Abraham, and then some father being passive like Lot and not imparting their convictions that they had and biblical truths to their children, and it ends up bringing division. And it's not the heart of God. God wants us to impart to our children biblical convictions instead of the children tweaking dad and mom a little bit by little bit. And a lot of times dad and mom don't even know it. I've seen it, you know, and I've talked to a brother recently, and he just shared this with me out of the blue. Many of you would know him if I'd mention his name. He made this comment. He says, it's a lot easier to get along in a fellowship when everybody's children are young than when they are older and teenagers. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Because God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. If He has shown you biblical truths 10 years ago, these truths stand forever. Let us not let our children lead us, but let us lead them. So, that's just my burden today, you know, that we would, that the biblical truths you stood on when your children were young, impart them to them, that they may not be changing you. And the other thing, what I've seen it do already, my short experience, what I've seen it do already, it causes division. It causes both sides to err. One side starts focusing on works. The other side just focuses on faith and no works. And, you know, instead of being united in the truth, you know, that yes, we are saved by faith, but faith without works is dead. And so just encourage us that I've seen it cause both sides to err. And let's be united in teaching and training our children and families. Another example, so we have Abraham. We'll put Abraham down here. He was And then I'm going to have another example of another passive father. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verses 11 through 14, this is Eli. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever after the iniquity which he knoweth. Notice, which he knoweth, because his son made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And so God is judging. Yeah, I realize Eli's sons here were in a place of doing the work of God, but yet he restrained them not. He knew what was going on, but yet he did nothing. And it wasn't good. So I would just encourage us, you know, it is okay to restrain our children when it's going against biblical truths and biblical things that are in the Word. It, you know, I realize we don't want to make hypocrites out of our children by restraining them if their hearts are not in it. But there is more than one way that we can make hypocrites out of our children. If we let them confess Jesus Christ as their Savior and they have no life to show for it, or are disobedient to the Word of God, and we as fathers are passive about it, we make them hypocrites. There's more than one way to make hypocrites out of our children. And so it's important that, you know, if they're going to name the name of Christ, and you need to have the walk with it. And I think of Jesus Christ, you know, he did a thing that he did not want to do when he went to the cross. He told in Luke 22:42, he says he kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know, yet he did not want to do that. He said, "But be possible, let me bypass this." So he wasn't a hypocrite for doing something that he didn't want to do, but he did it because it was the will of his Father. You know, the Father asked Jesus Christ to do something Jesus himself didn't want to do. So he was in subjection to our Father. You know, God the Father is a clear example of a Father giving clear direction to his Son. And we should take example from him. So we'll put Eli over here. You know, some of you might say, "Oh, what about the prodigal son? Didn't he leave his son make his own choices? Wasn't he a passive father?" I would say no, he was not a passive father. The son, he left to make his own path and his own decisions. He didn't stay in the home and flaunt his ungodly ways and vex everybody around about him with his ungodly deeds. Fellowship remained intact in the home. And it did cause some ripples in the fellowship when he came back, but his father wasn't passive. I want you to turn there to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read a couple verses. You know, in that father's home, everyone was under subjection. Look at verse 29. This is the ripple that it caused. But I want you to, sometimes we look down at this other son because of this, but I want you to notice something else that the Lord showed me here in this study. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, and I might make merry with my friends." in this father's house, he was in authority, and he was able to impart his convictions, and there was no disobedience. Everything was in order in this house. And what did the son do that returned? He immediately knew he needed to be in subjection. That's the first place he placed himself under subjection when he came back into the fellowship with his father, with his mother. It was under subjection with all gravity. And so I was blessed with seeing that. And, he says, neither transgressed I at any time. The things a prodigal son did were down away from home in a far country, verse 13, away from authority. Instead of doing these things while living under the authority's roof and bringing divisions between brothers and sisters, the prodigal son came back in his father's house, and he needed to be in subjection. And so I just want to encourage us, let's not let our children, as I read there in Deuteronomy, remember what you heard from the Lord when you stood by the Lord, when he showed you things about the family. I know of a situation where parents had a daughter living in rebellion and sin and refusing to repent, and the parents came to the church and asked the church to excommunicate her instead of letting her change the parents' convictions. And since she's been excommunicated for the destruction of her flesh, she has had a very hard life, and she's almost died a couple of times. And the last I heard, there were steps being taken towards repentance and restoration because her parents stood on their biblical convictions and did not let her change. They followed the biblical pattern, and it brought destruction to her flesh to where she almost died a couple times. And so I know it's a hard thing. We're dealing with our children as parents, but my encouragement today is for us to rise up to the challenge God has called us. These parents of this girl, they could have stuck up for her and left it divide their fellowship with brethren, but they didn't. But now, since steps of restoration, repentance are taking place, she can be restored into the fellowship. So, let's be fathers that give clear direction. I have another positive example in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 of a father who's able to impart biblical truths to his family. 16 verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, the house of Stephanas, or the family of Stephanas. You could say the family of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. So here's a father, Stephanas, who has a family, and he's addicted to the ministry. I love this. He's addicted to the ministry, and he has imparted this to his children. It's a beautiful picture. He has addicted himself, and he's not only him, but he's passed it on. He's imparted these biblical truths to his family, to his children. And so he was able to impart these biblical truths with all gravity. That's what the word gravity, able to impart biblical truths. So, I'm going to put him over here. And then I'm going to be closing here shortly. I just wanted to, you as a father, are very likely, like Lot, going to be able to go through judgment and pass the test like Lot, but your family more than likely, you know, most of these were lost. Family over here was saved. These are just the examples that are in the scriptures. They were passive. Their families were lost. The fathers who were able to give clear direction, their family was saved. And so, again, I have needs as a father in this area, and I would ask that you would pray for me. But my heart today was that we wouldn't restrain from teaching God's Word. My goal was to challenge us as fathers to higher ground today. That's my goal. Because we have souls that are under our care, and let's move with fear, like Noah. By faith, he moved with fear. Walking in faith and being moved with the fear of God. So I'll close in prayer, and I'll turn the time over. Father in heaven, I do thank you, Lord,